In today's news headlines, Philonese Floyd, the brother of George Floyd, testified on Wednesday morning to the House Judiciary Committee on the issue of police accountability. The testimony was held a day after the high-profile victim of Minneapolis police killing was laid to rest. Here are excerpts from Philonese Floyd's opening remarks.
I couldn't take care of George that day. He was killed. But maybe by speaking with you today, I can make sure that his death will not be in vain. Enough is enough. The people marching in the streets are telling you enough is enough. By the leaders that is our country, the world needs the right thing. The people elected you to speak for them, to make positive change. George's name means something. You have the opportunity here today to make your names mean something too. If his death ends up changing the world for the better, and I think it will, then he died as he lived. It is on you to make sure his death is not in vain. I didn't get the chance to say goodbye to Perry while he was here. I was robbed of that. But I know he's looking down at us now. Perry, look up at what you did. Big brother, you changed the world. Thank you for everything, for taking care of us on earth, for taking care of us now. I hope you find mama and you can rest in peace with power. Thank you.
That's the voice of Philonese Floyd, George Floyd's brother, speaking to the House Judiciary Committee on Wednesday. On the same day, the Minneapolis Police Department announced that it would be withdrawing from negotiations with the police union. Police Chief Maderia Arradondo gave a news conference explaining his decision.
I am immediately withdrawing from the contract negotiations with the Minneapolis Police Federation. I plan to bring in subject matter experience and advisors to conduct a thorough review of how the contract can be restructured to provide greater community transparency and more flexibility for a true reform.
That's Minneapolis Police Chief Maderia Arradondo addressing reporters on Wednesday morning about ending negotiations with the powerful police union that has contributed significantly to police impunity. Presidential candidate Joe Biden addressed Floyd's funeral on Tuesday in a 5-minute videotaped speech, complete with moving soundtrack.
We can't turn away. We must not turn away. We cannot leave this moment thinking we can once again turn away from racism that stings at our very soul, from systemic abuse that still plagues American life.
That's an excerpt of Joe Biden giving a funeral videotaped speech at George Floyd's funeral on Tuesday. Biden, who as senator invited a police union to help him write a bill on criminal justice, has moved to the left on the issue of police accountability, but still maintains an opposition to the new rallying cry of defund the police. Meanwhile, the Republican Party has been caught off guard with a rapidly evolving position of the American public on police violence, as President Donald Trump has focused on spreading lies and conspiracy theories about the victims of police brutality and those protesting it, and cast himself as the law and order president, some GOP lawmakers are scrambling to distance themselves from this tone-deaf rhetoric. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has asked Senator Tim Scott, the only Black Republican senator, to lead the party's response to the current political landscape. However, Senator Tom Cotton, who has openly called for the deployment of the U.S. military to squash American protests, has introduced a bill opposing the defunding of police departments. In a sign of the times that we live in, the long-running pro-police reality TV show called Cops has been canceled. Launched in 1989, Cops, for more than three decades, reinforced the notions that police always act in the best interest of the public and that Black and brown victims were deserving of arrests. On the date that the show was scheduled to premiere its 33rd season, the Paramount Network, which had taken over the show from Fox, announced it would not air. Activists around the world are targeting statues that glorify historic racism. Here in the United States, activists destroyed two statues of Christopher Columbus in Massachusetts and in Virginia. The Virginia statue was toppled and dumped into a lake. In Britain, where a statue of a slave trader was toppled and thrown into a river, there is now a fierce debate over a Winston Churchill statue. And in Belgium, Black Lives Matter activists want to bring down a statue of King Leopold over his racist and colonialist legacy. While primary elections were held in four states in the U.S. on Tuesday, it was the state of Georgia that made the most headlines. Across Georgia, a state known for its disenfranchisement of people of color, officials struggled with a new $100 million voting machine system that resulted in many hours of wait times, particularly in communities of color. The day ended with an extended window to vote and a promise of investigations rather than an announcement of winners. In news related to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, troubling signs of a resurgence of infections are on the American horizon. Although infection rates in 24 states are trending downward, in 7 states they're holding steady, and in 19 others there is a troubling rise in COVID-19 cases. Chief among those is Arizona, where health experts are warning that hospitals may be reaching their bed capacity quite soon. The nation's chief infectious diseases expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, is warning that the pandemic is, quote, far from over, and that the virus is his, quote, worst nightmare. More than 110,000 people have died in the U.S. alone, and globally that figure is 400,000. Fauci added, where is it going to end? We're still at the beginning of it. A new study published in Britain concluded that a second wave of infections globally could be staved off if enough of a nation's population wore face masks, even homemade cloth masks. The study's lead author said our analyses support the immediate and universal adoption of face masks by the public. While the U.S. has been the leader in coronavirus infections and deaths for some months, Latin America's most populous country could overtake it. There has been a deeply troubling rise of COVID-19 infections in Brazil, where the spread of the disease has been described as a free fall. In Brazil's favelas, home to many of the nation's poorest, residents have taken to organizing their own response to the virus in the absence of leadership from Brazil's authoritarian president, Jair Bolsonaro. According to the Washington Post, in Sao Paulo, people who live in poorer areas and contract the virus are up to 10 times more likely to die than people in wealthy areas. According to the data released by the city's health department, Black Sao Paulo residents are 62% more likely to die from the virus than white residents. The Bolsonaro government recently came under fire for manipulating COVID-19 data and was forced by the nation's Supreme Court to restore a national tracking database. Most troublingly, there are now reports that Bolsonaro's government is exploring the use of the military in order to hold on to power. Bolsonaro's own son, who is an admirer of Brazil's former military dictatorship, said, quote, "It's no longer an opinion about if, but when this will happen." And that does it for our news headlines today.